Hello, everybody, and welcome back to 100 Years and 100 Movies. Today is day 8 of the season of The Witch, and today we're talking about a film technique that has had its highs and lows, one that I think, depending on who's doing it, can be really good or can be unwatchable, and that is found footage films. Found footage, much like it sounds, it isn't just horror movies, although the majority of the ones that I can think of are horror movies. Basically, it's the first-person perspective of, actual events as they're happening, which has gone up and down in popularity since probably its peak with the Blair Witch Project. Not that that was the first found footage movie, not even the first found footage horror movie. I mean, I think that probably would go back to, at least in this sense, would probably be something like Cannibal Holocaust and Cannibal Ferox, where, we have these directors presenting a made-up movie as real footage that's been found of these horrific things that happened. And, found footage itself can be seen in stuff like Chronicle by Josh Trank, which is about superheroes. There'll be found footage sequences within movies as well, but I think horror is one of the few that really kind of embraces it. And I really feel that when you're talking about found footage, there is one movie in particular that you have to talk about, and that is the Blair Witch Project. The Blair Witch Project, which was a cultural phenomenon when it came out in 1999. I was in high school, that was the year I graduated high school. So I think it came out either right before I graduated or right after I graduated high school. And people were going nuts for this fucking movie. I'm gonna just show my cards. I do not care for this movie. I think it's stupid. But at the time, it had a couple of things going for it. I mean, we had a special on TV talking about the release of this movie, The Blair Witch Project, which was marketed as a real, based on a true story. And this was at the kind of nascent beginning of the expansion of the internet and people going on the internet to really look for stuff. So they actually had a website that you can go to where you can do research on the background of this movie and what it was about. And it presented not only, it was presented as a mystery, and it was also kind of this, I'm trying to remember the name of the people. It was a mystery, but it was also presented as kind of did this really happen? Did these people are they still lost? It was all presented as real, you're watching some kind of real life snuff film of these documentary filmmakers that go to Burkittsville, a small town in Maryland, and are looking for the Blair Witch. Like I said, I think a lot of the appeal of this movie was that people really kind of bought into it. People believed this was real. I remember going to go see this, and people were like, oh my God, it's the scariest thing ever. It's so fucking scary. And then I'm sitting in the dark watching hazy footage of people in the woods yelling at each other, being assholes, basically, and not much else happening. This movie was a total letdown when I saw it. I mean, I will say for the longest time it was the most successful independent movie ever, or independent horror movie. It's got that going for it, but this movie was not great. At least I don't think it was great. I know a lot of people love this movie, and a lot of people think it's one of the scariest things ever. I just think it's fucking stupid. Haven't you ever been in the woods? I mean, yeah, the woods are kind of creepy and scary at night. And also, I kind of had this whole idea of, you guys are just fucking stupid. You're lost. You're obviously lost, and you're being really dumb about it, and it's not helping with anything. And I feel like this is a movie because people thought it was real, that they were just reading a lot into it. So as a sociological experiment, it was fascinating. But as a movie, I don't think it was great. But like I said, the Blair Witch Project was this huge, huge, massive hit. And you know, you would think something like that, like where did this like original idea come from? But of course it wasn't original, because the year before, in 1998, we had The Last Broadcast, which was probably it's almost it's scary how much of a how close it is to The Blair Witch. I mean, the movie is presented as like this court trial of this guy who's being put on he's being put on trial for the murder of a couple of people. So basically the idea is that there's a show, Factor Fiction, which is, I guess, supposed to be like, you know, Unsolved Mysteries, where they go into the Pine Barrens in New Jersey to look for the mythical Jersey Devil. But two of the people are killed and only one is found alive. Like, he leaves the woods, and they are able to kind of cut the footage together that was being shot for this documentary, and in doing so are able to convict him of murder. But of course he's not the murderer, it was actually the guy that's been doing the movie the whole time. The Last Broadcast is, it's pretty unwatchable. I mean, the thing is, the Blair Witch, like, I mean, just watching it, I know some people had got motion sickness from it, and I think that's something that happens a lot with found footage, because we have people moving around, and we're like, people are moving, so the camera's moving, and so it's affecting, it affects some people's equilibrium. Like, I don't have a problem watching them, but I know some people do. But just on top of it, I mean, these are pre-HD movies, and because they're supposed to look, you know, gritty and realistic, they are shot on, like, just regular camera stock, like, regular film, and it looks, like, in The Last Broadcast, it looks terrible, and The Blair Witch Project, it looks kind of bad, but I mean, they were using better cameras, so it doesn't look as terrible. Like I mentioned, The Blair Witch, though, was so popular that it actually got a sequel the following year, which used found footage elements, but really was more of this really different take on The Blair Witch. Like, I don't even really remember it, like, aside from the fact it's basically like, oh, this movie was so popular, now people are going to go to this town to kind of find out about it. And then some people are like, the group that we're following on this tour, the Blair Witch, get possessed and kill a bunch of people. It's not good, and I would not recommend it at all. I mean, if you really want to watch the Blair Witch, check out the first one. I you know, it's a movie that even every single time I've tried to rewatch it, I can't get through it. Like, it just bores me to death. I fall asleep, like, each time. I think I get about 30 minutes in and I'm out. Like, I just can't do it. I even tried to watch the remake, which had some interesting ideas, like using drones and everything, but I mean, I guess if you want to watch any of these, go with the original, you might as well. But it's not like the only movie that came out that found footage. You know, I think probably outside of The Blair Witch, probably the other most famous example is Paranormal Activity, which was written and directed by Oren Peli, and was shot on a shoestring budget in his own house. So this movie was a massive hit. It made tons of money, and it actually spawned a pretty decent you know, franchise. Like, the first two and three of the sequels are pretty good, and then as they tried to explain more about this entity that's in the home, it just kind of derailed and just got silly, and they did too many of them in too short amount of time. But I mean, if you're gonna watch them, I would say, you know, definitely the first two. The third one's all right. After that, you don't need to bother. But if you're just gonna watch one, I mean, Paranormal Activity is good. It's really well done. It basically revolves around this couple, Katie and Micah, played by Katie Featherstone and Micah Sloat, who are living in this home in San Diego, in this condominium, and some weird things are happening, so Micah decides to start kind of recording at night to see what's going on when they're asleep, to see if anyone's getting in or what's going on. And little by little, things start getting strange. Like, we start seeing doors open by themselves, kind of things moving by, like, you know, something falling ominously. And as things escalate, you know, like, a Ouija board gets caught on fire. They try to perform an exorcism, which doesn't take. And Katie seems to get possessed at some point, and we have scenes of her just kind of at night just watching Micah in his bed as she kind of rocks back and forth, and it's disturbing. And then eventually she kills Micah. It's, you know, for this small, low-budget movie, I think it's a better take on what the Blair Witch is trying to do. And I feel a lot of that is maybe just because, you know, something being inside your house is scarier than you going out into the woods and being stupid and getting yourself in a situation that's going to get you killed. But yeah, I mean, Paranormal Activity is, I enjoy it. I think it's pretty good. At the same time, in 2007, we also had Rec, which is a Spanish horror movie, like Spanish from Spain, where we follow a television reporter and a cameraman as they go into an apartment building following some emergency workers. And as they get in there, they start to realize that there's something wrong with the people inside the home. This was remade here in the U.S. as Quarantine. Once again, I mean, just go with the first one. It's basically a found footage zombie movie. When I talked about Romero, this is kind of what Diary of the Dead was trying to do, but this is a much, much better take on that. This movie is excellent. It is nasty. It has some pretty vicious parts, and it has just this dread of, like, you ain't getting out of the situation alive, you know? The other thing about Quarantine is, like, the fucking poster gave away the ending of that movie. That just sucks when the poster itself gives away the ending of a movie, you know? Like, because at the end of it, you know, we are following Angela throughout this movie. At the end of it, she is kind of taken in by these, if I remember correctly, it's a rabies outbreak, but they're basically acting like zombies because they're all slowly trying to kill one another. One of the more fun takes on found footage is the horror comedy Troll Hunter, directed by Andre Ovredal, which basically has a group of students investigate some mysterious killings in this small town, and it turns out that there's a literal troll killing people, and they find a troll hunter. This movie is pretty ridiculous, but it's a lot of fun just because it's so out there. And for a found footage movie, it's one of the few ones that actually has really great effects. Excuse me. And from my understanding, a lot of the stuff that happens in this movie with the trolls, it is based on actual like Scandinavian myths, because, you know, Andre Overdahl is Scandinavian, so he, you know, he kind of knows what he's talking about. But this is, like I said, it's just pretty crazy, just because usually with found footage movies, if you're getting special effects, they're pretty rudimentary. A lot of it is really about the appeal of trying to capture something that looks realistic. I mean, I guess you could argue something like Cloverfield really had a lot of special effects in it as well, and that's a found footage movie. But that's a found footage movie by way of, I guess it's, you know, man on the street take of a Godzilla movie, but I think Cloverfield isn't that great. It had an interesting idea, and it's directed well, but I think there's just something's off about that movie. I feel like, maybe the mythology or whatever idea they were going for, the way that the execution of it, there's just something off about it. And I mean, it's directed by Matt Reeves, and Matt Reeves is usually great. I mean, that movie ended up opening a lot of doors for him because it was pretty successful. But I feel that not only the fact that Cloverfield kind of has this whole idea of there's this backstory, but it doesn't really matter. And they had this whole viral campaign that, much like the Blair Witch Project, that at least in the Blair Witch Project, it was related to what was going on in the movie, and Cloverfield it wasn't. But anyway, my point being, outside of that one, Troll Hunter is the only other movie that I could think of that has, like, some pretty gnarly special effects for a found footage movie. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to see a kind of a fun take on it, just because, I mean, we have, like, literal trolls in it, but as opposed to just kind of more the what's the word I'm looking for? Like, you're insinuating something supernatural, you know? It's like, might as well just show something supernatural. And Cloverfield, I mean, obviously that's more sci-fi, but definitely a good movie to check out. One of the other movies that I could think of that I thought was a pretty interesting take on found footage was The Last Exorcism. Not that The Last Exorcism is a great movie. It's an all right exorcism movie, and there's plenty of exorcism movies. But the whole idea of this is that we're following an evangelical minister who, his whole idea is he's taking this documenting exorcisms to debunk them. So it's a kind of a different take in the sense that it's a skeptic, and he's trying to show that this is all bullshit. But of course, you know, there's like twists and turns with it, and it turns out that this congregation that he's trying to that he's investigating this possession turns out it's actually true, and they're a bunch of Satanists, and they kill him at the end of it. So kind of a downer too, but I mean, for what it's doing, it's a pretty decent take on exorcism movies, and it's a pretty decent found footage movie. There's plenty of found footage movies, some of them that are pretty unwatchable, and I don't really want to spend the time on them, but the last movie that I kind of wanted to touch on as part of found footage, and this is kind of tangentially related to found footage, is 2020's Host. So this is a Shudder original. So as I mentioned before, you know, Shudder is a like horror Netflix, basically, and they do have some movies that they make, that they produce themselves, not a lot. Most of their model is just getting the rights to have like a pretty decent collection of horror movies and having stuff that they may have kind of like exclusively be able to show, like Mandy or Color Out of Space, both Nicolas Cage movies, or like Revenge, like I mentioned last time. But Host is one of the few ones that they actually produce themselves. And the great thing about Host is that this was shot basically via Zoom. So the whole idea is that you're following this group of friends who decide to take part in a seance, but it's done via Zoom because, you know, it's set in 2020 and everyone is, you know, social distancing and everyone is trying to stay in their own homes because of concerns with COVID, which this is probably the first movie I could think that I've seen, at least, that handles the pandemic directly and indirectly in a way, I guess, too. I mean, it's the premise of it is made this way because it's, you know, of the restrictions that we have of the pandemic, and it doesn't directly, I mean, it's not horror directly addressing that, but it is an interesting take, and I think it's a pretty well done take. This was directed by Rob Savage, who had actually done like a little short viral short a while, like at the beginning of the pandemic, about you know, him looking, hearing some strange sounds in his attic, and there's even something like that in this movie. But as I said, we follow these friends who are on this Zoom call, and they have someone kind of lead a seance, and one of the girls ends up just making up a story because nothing's happening, and because of that, she ends up inviting an entity into their midst, and little by little, much like Paranormal Activity, you just see things in the background, like a chair will move, or the lights go out, or just these things that you know, are odd but not really noticeable. Like maybe like a light in the background, things like that. It's a really well done little short, and as the movie progresses, things escalate further and further to the point where they start getting killed, and the use of stuff like screensavers and face recognition technology, like, you know, like filters, things like that. I say face recognition, but more like filters when, you know, just recognize there's a face there, are used to some interesting effects in this movie. And this also kind of reminds me of like Japanese horror movies wherein you're all fucked and you're all gonna die. And I mean, I'm kind of stretching by calling this a found footage movie because it's all told kind of in real time. But I mean, who's to say? I mean, it's a Zoom call, you can record it, right? So someone else can find it. And the other clever thing about it is that at about the 43 minute mark, you know, it starts to tell you that, hey, your free call is, you're about to reach the limits of your free call, which is something that I think all of us have dealt with Zoom and with other such, you know, face-to-face video chat platforms. So I just want to point this movie out because being that it's something that's on Shudder, I don't think a lot of people are aware of it. I definitely enjoyed it, and it kind of creeped me out a little. And some of it starts to get pretty crazy near the end, kind of what's happening. And even the fact that, like, when it ends, like, the credits are basically being done as if you're going scrolling through someone's address book. I think this is a clever movie, and I think that this kind of shows, hey, what can be done even with the restrictions that we have right now to make an entertaining horror movie, and kind of shows just a different take on what could be done with found footage. And found footage itself, I mean, I think just like anything, it's something that can be used and misused, can be used to greater effect. It really depends on what on the intent is. And, you know, like whenever I think that something's been done and it can't be redone, I am surprised. You know, like I had mentioned, the Blair Witch Project was this big phenomenon, and didn't go to the extent of, like, that there were cannibal holocausts where they were bringing up the directors on charges of murder or anything like that, but the actors themselves kind of had to hide themselves and then had to be like, no, we're actually alive, you know, to kind of, once we made a lot of money. The fact that Paranormal Activity was such this huge hit, and that movies in the last 10 years have really tried to do different things within the found footage realm, you know, to kind of expand it into other areas and to show what else could be done with that technology, or with just trying to present something in a different way. You know, I think that's really the cleverness of found footage, even if the execution isn't necessarily always the best. It's just another tool that people can definitely use, and that, you know, can be used well or not so well. So that's it for today. Thank you, and we'll be back tomorrow.